being a father is a huge job with a lot of hats. Fathers must be a spiritual leader and a disciplinarian and a provider and an educator. And because of the seriousness of their role, I think that's why dad jokes were invented. Because sometimes you just need a chuckle along the way. So I read this dad joke. What do you call a line of men waiting to get haircuts? A barbecue. Okay, I'm not a dad, so. So some people had kind and funny dads, and some people had serious dads. And some people had dads that were there for every game and took them fishing. And the best dads are the ones that lead their children to Jesus. But some people had dads that left and never came back. So I watched this movie this last week. It's on the Angel Network, and it's called He Calls Me Daughter. And for me, it was really a thought-provoking movie. It talks about the importance of a father-daughter relationship and something called a father wound. If a daughter feels loved and protected, she grows up feeling worthy of love. If a daughter grows up abused, unloved, abandoned, there is this wound inside her. And so many women try many different dysfunctional ways to fill that hole and to heal that wound. And in this movie, there is a testimony of this young lady who used to work in a strip club. And she said most of her previous co-workers had experienced great trauma and did not feel loved by their father for whatever reason. And in the movie, there is this group of Christian women, and they start showing up once a week, and they bring a home-cooked meal. And they just show up week after week. And the young lady who sits her testimony, she said, some weeks I just wanted to go and hide. I didn't want to be confronted with these Christian women and their joy and their happiness. I just couldn't hardly face that. But the women kept showing up. And they kept telling the other women about Jesus. And so the young lady, she decided she would go to church. And when she first started going to church, she would intentionally show up late to church because her feelings towards men were not good. And she had a hard time standing there and worshiping Jesus because even though Jesus is God, he's also man. And she just couldn't stand there and sing praises to him. And as she was saying this, I thought about, you know, sometimes we have to give grace like Jesus gives us grace because we don't know what someone is going through. It would be easy to sit in that pew and say, this girl comes in late every week and misses worship time. Why does she do that? Because we don't know the struggle that someone is having. As they are discovering Jesus, as they are growing in their maturity, as they are letting go those wounds, we have to give grace because we just don't know. And it took time for this lady to accept Jesus and to understand that she is a loved daughter of the Most Holy. And when she surrendered that pain and put her trust in God, her life changed. And in this movie, you just see her joyful and telling her testimony. And she cries too. Like, so I'm not the only one who cries. She cries too. But, you know, it's just amazing where God brought her to that point of surrender, to that part of forgiveness, to that healing. And we also realize that how a daughter sees her father can affect how she views God. There is a female Christian comedian, and she has been around for a lot of years. And she openly talks about her life, and she talks about that her dad was a pastor, and he was very popular at the churches he preached in. But she said, at each church they went to, he had a different girlfriend at each of the churches. And their dad was really nice on Sunday, but the rest of the week, he didn't live that. He was abusive and cruel to their family. And because of all of this, she had a very strange view about God for a while. Now, eventually, she's going to grow up, and she's going to forgive her father, and she's going to develop a pure relationship with God. But that takes time, and that takes healing, and that takes God's intervention. Now, I certainly don't want to leave out the importance of the father-son relationship. For sons, fathers are an example of how to be good husbands and fathers. And if we didn't have that good example, a man may really struggle to find his way in these roles unless a father figure stepped up to fill that gap. And this kind of was lived out in my own life. My one younger brother, when growing up in school, he had a classmate who his father died. And my dad, my dad was a man that really loved God. He wasn't one to really preach, though he sat as an elder of our church. But he lived out scriptures like, take care of the widows and the orphans. And so this young man that his father had died, my dad always was sure to step up and go to those father-son events and make sure that he had my brother, but also Harry. That was his name, Harry. And, you know, a lot of trips that we took, Harry was just with us. And my dad would encourage him, but my dad would also lecture him like a father. I remember Harry bought a pickup, you know, that was lifted up and had the big tires. I don't know, maybe you call that a monster truck. I don't know. Anyway, Harry bought one of those, and my dad saw him driving crazy. And I remember when we got home, the first thing my dad did was he got on the phone and he called Harry and he said, I saw you driving, and that was inappropriate. And I was like, Dad, you're not really his dad. And Harry then proceeded to get into a pretty serious car accident just a few weeks after. And my dad, Harry broke his pelvic bones, and it was kind of serious. And my dad would go and sit with him. And, you know, my dad was too kind to ever say, I told you so, but I think it was implied. But my dad was still there. He kept showing up. And Harry grew up. He became a pastor. He got married. He had children. He now has grandchildren. And when my brother died, Harry was the speaker. And he talked about how my father stepping up affected his life, and that he felt like he was just one of the kids of our family, and that he could count on my dad. And that's kind of beautiful. That's a legacy we want. And it's a legacy that many of you have. I mean, between God Squad and Youth for Christ, there's a lot of people that are stepping up and being that father figure for people who need it. So some men that don't have that, God himself has to teach them how to be a good husband and a good father. But aren't we so blessed to have the ultimate good father? In Corinthians 6, God gives us this beautiful image about how he will live with us and he will walk with us. And he calls us to holy lives. And then he says, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and my daughters. And that image of God walking with us reminds us that we are never alone, and he wants us to reach out to him. So I got to tell you a story about an older lady that I know. She lives in another state. And I don't want you to think of this as gossip, because the story kind of is also about my reaction to this lady. So this lady grew up in a severely, severely dysfunctional home. And when she grew up, she got married, and her husband had an affair with her sister. And she was crushed. And she no longer trusted anyone. Just couldn't trust anyone. And she turned to alcohol and drugs and even considered ending her life. And I did not know this woman during this time. I met her later when she was a recovering addict in Celebrate Recovery, and she had already accepted Jesus. And what I remember most about this woman is the way that she prayed. It was so different than anyone I had ever heard pray before. So different. And I'm going to be transparent. There were several things about this lady that I wasn't patient about. She had just recently got off drugs. And so she had like little tics that sometimes happens, like if you were on meth or something. And so she had different mannerisms, like smacking her lips or things that could just kind of drive me crazy. And like I said, the way she prayed was just so different to me. And you see, I think sometimes I wish that I could pray like people who have really flowery, beautiful prayers, and they always know the right thing to say, and they just pray so beautifully. And this woman did not pray like that. She prayed like a woman who was just clinging to Jesus. And she would cry out to him, Abba, Father. And sometimes in her prayers, she would actually just call him Daddy. And I never heard anyone pray like that before. It was like a child calling out to their dad. She had endured so many hardships, and Jesus was her rescuer. He was the one she could trust. He was the one that was getting her through day by day. And as I read the Bible, I realized that when I wish to be like someone who has eloquent words when they pray, I was wrong. I was definitely wrong. Because prayers are not to make myself sound wise. They are to seek the presence of my Father. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites who stand in the synagogues and go on and on. You know, go and get in your own prayer closet and talk to your Father. And so to me, Jesus is saying, forget the performance, but pray from your heart, like a child talking to their father. You know, when my dad died, I think that was one of the things that I missed most, was just calling and talking to him. My dad was a really good friend of mine and probably the person I looked up to most. And so, you know, throughout my whole life, I would call him and tell him everything, you know. And when he died, I missed that so much. Sometimes I would write him letters. But now I realize that I can talk to my Heavenly Father and I can share with him all of those details. All of those things. Let's read in Romans 8, 14 through 16. It's on the screen if you need it. Romans 8, 14 through 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And we see that Jesus called out in the same way when he was praying in Gethsemane before he was arrested. And so that's found in Mark 14:36. Jesus said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And in Galatians 4:6, Paul echoes all of this by saying, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. But here's an interesting fact. Abba is an Aramaic word that was commonly used by children in conversations with their father. It translates closely to Papa or Daddy. So in ancient Jewish tradition, the name of God was considered so holy that people were even afraid to utter the name of God. And so back then, if you were calling the creator of the universe Daddy, that would be incredibly shocking. It would not be something that they would do. So King David, you know, he wrote in Psalms so many deeply intimate thoughts with God, and he addressed God as Father a couple times in Hebrew, but he did not call him Abba. David mostly called him Yeshua, which translates as Lord. In Psalms 89, he wrote, you are my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. But Jesus broke this boundary. Jesus so many times breaks the boundaries. He broke the boundary of not addressing in such a close way. Calling God Abba is a concept that is unique to the New Testament, introduced by Jesus. And he breaks those boundaries of keeping us from God in so many ways, right? Earthly fathers can sometimes disappoint us. But God is that perfect Father that our spirits long for. We do not need to approach God with perfectly crafted prayers. When you cry out to him, you can just cry out, Abba, Father. Resting in his unconditional love frees us to live and to know that we are never abandoned. We are his beloved. In 1 John 1 and 2, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As believers, our self-worth is based on the fact that God loves us and calls us his children. That's where our self-worth is. And we are his children now, not just sometime in the distant future. And that should encourage us to live like Jesus. The Christian life is a process of becoming more and more like Christ. And it will not be complete until we see Christ face to face. What a glorious day that'll be. When Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, he started it by addressing God as our Father in heaven. This acknowledges a personal, loving relationship with God while recognizing his power and his majesty. Then he said, Hallowed be thy name, which means to treat his name as holy and sacred. We are allowed to approach him with honesty and trust, but also with reverence. That goes with it as well. He is our safe refuge. And even when our life feels uncertain or overwhelming, as a father, he corrects us, not out of anger, but to grow us in maturity and peace. We are invited to share our daily joys, our frustrations, and our needs with him in a deeply personal way. And today, as you celebrate with your earthly father, I ask you to reflect on your relationship with your heavenly father. Remember, you are the beloved of God. Do you talk to God like he's your father? Or has your relationship become quite formal with him? Does your prayer life sound more like an Amazon wish list? Just telling him what you want, what you need? Jesus prayed when he was in Gethsemane that it not be his will, but God's will. And are your prayers also that? Do you lay it down and say, God, this is what I'd like to happen, but I'm willing to take what is your will for my life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today as your sons and daughters. We are so grateful that we are your beloved children. And we recognize your holiness and your majesty and your power, but also your love and your mercy for us. As we reflect on our families today and in our community, let us bring your love. Let us let that shine brightly. Dear God, we just thank you that you consider us your sons and daughters. What a privilege that is to be in your family. And let us step forward for those who don't need you, or who don't know you. I'm sorry, everyone needs him. Who don't know you. Let us stand in the gap and show your love to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a lovely Father's Day.